the meeting to order of council for Tuesday, September 25th, 2018. I'd like to give regrets. Mayor David Dagley is vacationing in BC, and he and his wife are expecting a new grandchild, so that's a very good time for him to be in BC, and we wish them all the best in that endeavor. Also regrets from Councilor Brian Frelick, who is away today. Are there any changes to the agenda this morning? No changes, and I call for an approval of the agenda as presented. Moved by Councilor Fisk. Seconded by Councilor Kelly. All those in favor? Contrary? That motion carried. And we have presentations this morning, and I'd like to introduce Carol Hipwell. Carol is our Queens County Senior Safety Officer. She's been in that position for a while. Welcome, Carol.
Thank you.
You're a busy lady in town these days.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
That's okay. Keeps me out of trouble. Thank you. Thank you.
Deputy
Mayor. No. I'm sorry, I've been meeting
okay.
So many people lately. And anyway, I am Carol Hipwell, and I am your Senior Safety Coordinator for Queens County. I started this job in November of last year, and it's been a real learning curve, but it's been a great experience, so I've seen a lot. So our sort of motto is safety and security at home and in your community, and what we're trying to do is make sure that we can keep seniors in their homes with sufficient supports that they need and keep them independent, and that's a challenge. It's a community-based program. The Queens County Senior Safety Association is a nonprofit board. I believe we have 8 members on the board, and in partnership with the RCMP. So I work out of the Liverpool detachment of the RCMP and work from there. So as I said, we're looking after the safety and the security of seniors in their homes. I do have some people who are a little, you know, 53, 52, but you're not going to turn down people when they have needs to find out the services that are required. Our partners are the Nova Scotia Department of Seniors, who have provided the $25,000 grant. The RCMP in-kind contribution is the office space, the telephone, all the supports that they give to me. Comes from the RCMP. Region of Queens, thank you very much for your contributions. That's allowed me to increase the time here now to 3 days a week instead of just 2. So that has been welcomed very much. Thank you. And the VON, they provide the car for me to use 2 days a week. I'd love to be able to increase that availability of a vehicle, but 2 days a week is great, and otherwise I use my own. And the Community Health Board. We've applied for grants and gotten grants from the Community Health Board for independent exercise or workshop presentations that you will see. So basically today I just wanted to bring you up to speed on what's been going on in the last year so you know that your money is being used wisely. What do? We address the safety concerns of seniors, and this is from the Department of Seniors, what they want the senior safety programs to do. We promote education and awareness about senior abuse and crime prevention and all those sorts of things through workshops and educational presentations. We enhance the communication between seniors and police and other service agencies. So oftentimes I will get a referral from our local RCMP, and it's something that they initially work with, and then I go in to support the people afterwards to get them any supports that they might need. We provide information, educational sessions, and referral services to seniors. So I act as an advocate. I'm not the person who necessarily does the work, although I spend a lot of time with seniors. But I make sure that they navigate to the appropriate association and the appropriate place to get the help that they need. And I offer direct contact. And this is something that it's one of the most interesting parts of my job, and it really pulls at my heartstrings. I spend a lot of time with seniors on a one-on-one, and I learn a lot about their background and the struggles that they can have throughout, you know, different transitions in their life. So what do? We build community partnerships and connections, as I said, RCMP, VON, the Community Health Board, all of the service providers. I've been in touch with Lions Club, Kinsmen, etc. So we all work cooperatively together to collaborate and bring together things that seniors need. We support the engagement between seniors and police and their families, so acting kind of as a person to guide them again to reach the services that they need. And the one big thing that I really notice is the social connections. We have a lot of seniors who are in isolated areas of the county, and social isolation is the one of the largest things that they struggle with. They lose a partner and they become very lonely. Their life has changed. They don't know how to maintain what they've been doing with their partner. So social connections are really important. So services are free of charge. Says to anybody over the age of 55, but as I said, it depends on the circumstances. If we can help out somebody, then we're going to help out. I'm the Senior Safety Coordinator. Quick bio for myself. I was a teacher for 18 years with the South Shore Regional School Board. I moved here 20 years ago from Ontario. I started, actually, my very first teaching was here at Liverpool High, teaching science back in 98, I believe it was, 99. I have a background in kinesiology, which is health education, so I'm very aware of the health needs of seniors, and I've kept up to date on that. I have a Bachelor of Education, and I have my Master's of Education in Leadership and Development. I've also been in a lot of different jobs prior to this, and I've traveled a lot of places, so I have a lot of background knowledge that really feeds into this job very well. So I started this in 2017, and I work from the Liverpool RCMP office. And that is in, I'm going to introduce, can I introduce Corporal Harris?
Absolutely.
Okay. Corporal Harris, you have to stand up just for one moment. This is Corporal Harris from over at our detachment in Liverpool. He has taken over the job at the moment of, let's see, Staff Sergeant and the Deputy Staff Sergeant and our, one of our DAs. He's an amazing addition to our detachment, and I'd like to welcome you and say we're really, really, really pleased and very lucky to have John as a member of our team in Liverpool.
Welcome to Queens.
Thanks, John. So what have we done this year? Well, one of the biggest highlights and what's very well known in this area is the Queens County 50 Plus Info Fair. That was held on the 28th of May at the Best Western in Liverpool. We had 32 exhibitors that were there. There were some interactive displays so people could see what was going on. We had the entertainment of Dick Hennemery, who very graciously offers his entertainment for any of these kinds of events. He's just great that way. And there was lots, what I heard from people who were there, not just the visitors, but the display people were saying they had lots of chance to interact with other people and work together to find out how we can work together. If you're all working in separate pods, it's not quite so effective. And then we had some light refreshments and snacks that the superstore provided for us. So it was a really good day. I also heard from people that it was nice that it was just the afternoon, especially for the exhibitors, because they don't use a whole day. Tends to go out too long, but it went very, very quickly, and I thought it was a great success. Wouldn't have been able to do it without the help of my association and the volunteers that helped out with that. And then we had some presentations. So we had one on safe driving. It was more of a bringing people the awareness of what do you do in a construction zone? What do you do if a police car comes along or an ambulance? Because people don't necessarily understand that you have to pull right off and stop if they're coming up behind you, that or the other way if it's two lane, those kinds of things. I did a presentation with Rob James on domestic violence, which was very interesting because it can affect the families of seniors or seniors themselves when you get into elder abuse, etc. Frauds and scams is always a popular one, and there's always frauds and scams going on, and there are a lot right now, especially in texting. So we held them in Milton at the Seaside Center in East Berlin, Westfield Senior Center, and out in Mersey Point. So there's just a couple of pictures there. And then we had a workshop. This was done, Audrey Dennison, our treasurer, applied for the Community Health Board grant, and it was called Noontime Knowledge. And what we did for Noontime Knowledge was we had 6 weeks of sessions to just bring people together. It wasn't a specific seniors group, it was just seniors coming together. We had a light lunch first and then a presentation from people that weren't necessarily people we had had before, or it was just interest. So we had, there was no cost, sorry, spelling mistake there. And people could go to either one or all six. We like them to sign up so we kind of know how much food to prepare. But we had healthy eating on a budget. We had staying active on the trails with Norm. We had, staying healthy. What was that one? I can't even read my own writing. Oh, yeah, staying healthy and mobile. That was Henry Wilcox, and she had them moving, and that was really fun watching them. They really enjoyed it. It was very slow moving, but it was great. And then April Delozio, who's a psychologist in Bridgewater, came down and talked about mental health for seniors and moving, transitioning through. And then I did a presentation myself for people who didn't really know what the senior safety program was, and they found that very informative. So they were actually interactive. Here we have Kathy. Norm brought the washer toss with him, and Kathy's showing us great style. You can see the washer right there in the air as she's tossing it away to actually try the activity. I was surprised at some of them that didn't know about washer toss. Individuals, what do I do with individuals who come in? Sometimes it's filling out forms, helping them to fill out their renewal forms or their property taxes background. I refer seniors to the community health team, and whether or not they need to have testing or whether they need to have home care services, so I refer them there. I also respond to family and community member concerns, so different family, brothers or sisters will phone and say I'm worried, because these days we're spread out. Families are far away, and so it's nice for them to know that there's somebody here that they can contact. And then I advocate for seniors who need legal or medical navigation, so they don't necessarily know the system. And we do have seniors who run into some legal issues, so I try to navigate with them and help them to understand what's being told to them and make sure that they have a clear understanding of what they're being asked for. I also do safety check call-ins, so if somebody has been into the program and they're pretty well settled, but I'll give calls to them to see how things are still going, make sure they have all their needs met. Or some of them are more vulnerable. I have one lady living way out in an isolated area, and so I call her just to give her a check-in. Sometimes it's just a loneliness thing, or they start getting nervous, like me. lots of assistance to secure housing. Housing, affordable housing for people on a fixed income is a real issue. It's very, very difficult for a lot of people to transition from their homes into some kind of a living situation that they are able to still feel independent, and yet they don't have the maintenance. Some of the houses that we have here are beautiful and old, but they're very difficult to keep up for seniors especially. So I make home visits to seniors that are living alone. I also have visited a couple of the nursing homes for some individuals who want to see me there. And I communicate a lot with the other agencies that are involved just to make sure that we're all working together on the same program. So again, we cooperate with the RCMP, the VON, the Seniors Community Health Team, and Adult Protection. So if we have a senior who's in, we're very worried and think that they're very vulnerable, then we will call in Adult Protection and work with them in terms of making sure that the right services are there so that the senior is no longer at risk. And here we have the ladies in Westfield at one of our presentations. Some of the programs we have, I'm not going to read them all. As I said, there's safe driving. We've got one booked already about the new cannabis laws, etc. Energy drinks, the impact of energy drinks, those kinds of things. So we'll pretty well look at whatever is needed, and that's what their interest is, and that gets them out to socialize. So it's great. Fire safety, of course, will come up in the fall. Falls prevention, which I need to take, etc. Yes, I did a nice face plant in front of all my seniors. So, challenges that we face. Fixed income and poverty is the greatest need. In this county, we have a lot of seniors, and we have a lot of seniors living on fixed income that really have a really, really struggle to make ends meet. Affordable services for home maintenance. So how do we get them snow shoveling or lawn cutting? And I'm still looking for how to resolve that issue, because it's big. There's a lot of people that may be able to have somebody plow their driveway, but how do they get their walkways or their ramps, because a lot of them are on, you know, walkers or wheelchairs. And so it's really difficult to get home maintenance that is affordable. So that's difficult. Financial abuse comes up every so often. It can be anybody who is abusing a senior financially. It can be a relative. It can be a stranger. And that's a very, very difficult one to deal with, because you can't really necessarily prove something, and it takes a lot of work. Mental health issues, especially dementia, it's an interesting, I've learned a lot, aside from my mother having early dementia, but they, working with seniors with dementia, you learn a totally different way to interact. Slowly, you know, repeat yourself and keep it simple. So that's one of the things. We have a number of hoarders and people in living situations that make it not necessarily, well, the caregivers can't go in, I can't go into the home, and so that's a mental health issue. And it's very difficult, I think, for some people, once they get into that situation, to be able to dig out. And then life stresses, as I said, losing your partner, losing your home, for whatever reason, not being able to maintain your home, so having to be moved out. These are all very, very difficult questions. I have seniors who say, but I want to stay here until I die. That's good, but that may not be possible. And so you have to kind of work them along to what would be the best and safest living situation for you. Future thoughts. I'd like to do some presentations in the different areas that are not necessarily with the seniors groups. That's certainly going to continue. But myself putting on different ones for seniors that they would like. Because the noontime knowledge, people said, it brought them together and they met people they had never met before. So it's nice to have those kinds of presentations. But I'd like to kind of spread them across the county so that different areas can have that. As I said, we do presentations by request. Cooperative activities with other organizations like Queen's Manor Day Program or with Norm here at the region. And also safety information drop-in times, for instance, on Wednesdays as the blood clinic up at the North Queens Medical Center. So that might be a good opportunity for me to be up there for seniors just to be able to ask me questions or refer to things. I'm sorry, I'm standing in front of you.
Got it. Okay.
And then I would like to look into perhaps some community check-in volunteers to reduce the isolation and loneliness that is out there for some of the seniors in the area. So those are things that I'm working on, and my association is backing me and helping me as much as they can. So we're moving on from there. Any questions?
Thank you, Carol. Any questions for Councillor? Councillor Johnson?
Sure. Carol, good presentation. It's really nice to see this thing kick-started again and getting back on the rails. It's a huge piece, and it fits so closely with what Queen's Care Society in partnership with the region's doing around age-friendly communities, which doesn't start at 55, it starts at 35 to start building that infrastructure. So that's excellent. And one of the things I liked about your presentation is that it dispels that whole idea that senior safety is a part of VON or it's a part of the RCMP, where it's a standalone organization and has to fund their own, fund you and the activities that they do. So that's a key piece of education for anybody here today and for the media and for the people of Queens for sure. So I guess if I had any question for you, is how can the region help support you other than just the financial application for grants and the financial line in our budget?
I think building a resource base or being able to sort of build, I'm building sort of, you know, what are all the pharmacies in town? What are all the you know, banks, et cetera, in town? So if people are able to feed to me, any of the organizations or, you know, people that are willing to do some of the volunteer work, please send them my way. I do have a list, for instance, beginning of people who are interested in getting some snow shoveling. And I spoke to a student on the weekend, and he said, talk to the O2 people, which I had already done, so I'm hoping to try and get some of the senior high students to be able to help out in some of the different areas. You know, of course, you have to vet out and make sure that you've got good quality people that are going that will be able to help them out. So it's really just helping me to understand what all the different organizations are and what their roles are. So if they can send me a little spreadsheet, I've got a binder that I have of all the resources that I'm building up and bringing up to date. It's very difficult to keep things up to date. So that would be my biggest ask, okay? And also, if you know of somebody who would like a presentation or who would like me to go out and visit them, please pass on to me. My phone number is there. And we'll go from there. Right. Thanks for your comments.
Councilor Pansy?
Yes, Carol. Just a few questions along the way with this. Is that I know a lot of people who have caregivers come, but a lot of times what caregivers do is just come and make meals and go, right? So they don't... But some do actually do some work, so they don't. So if somebody doesn't need the meal, they'll actually put some time into to the work. And for a lot of these people, there's a lot of work. They just can't do it. And there a lot of them have their children who live far away, so they're very limited to what they do. And through our church and everything, we've been into a lot of these houses and we would go to nursing homes and things. So we see all of what's going on. So that's one concern to me. And I know that one lady that I know of in particular said, well, they just don't do anything when they come. So I don't know, is there anything that we can work with them to, I don't know, it's not your field, but it's something to how we can be able to help them even more with needs.
Yeah, I think that would involve sort of talking with the continuing care group as a whole. There are some, I know when some clients have lost one of their caregivers that they really, really liked for a reason, and we're very short on home care services. There's a waiting list for that. But I do know that it is very frustrating. I had one client just speak to me the other day, and he said, they just come in, they give me my pills, and they're out the door. And a lot of these seniors, what they really need is that connection. Mm-hmm. So rather than sort of put that on to the caregivers, because they're running all over. I mean, their schedules are, they may be over here and then they're down there. And again, they're also short, so there's people who are covering everybody else off at the moment. But if we could build some kind of community network for each of the areas where there were people who could just call a senior and talk. You know, just sometimes it's just the loneliness. And sometimes when I go there and then I leave, they say, oh, I feel so much better. I wish I could visit them all every day, each week, but I can't. So I kind of have to go through a schedule of phoning them. But that is something I am going to be talking to the seniors team and saying, you know, even if they just said, hello, you know, how are you doing? You know, I know that the caregiver for my mother has issues with my mom being very demanding about certain things. So you know, being able to get past that and realize that it's not necessarily them that's being like that, but it could be their dementia or their transitioning, and it's very difficult for them. So just to talk about what the senior wants to talk about. Yeah. So, go ahead. Sorry.
Can I continue?
Yes.
Okay. Also too, I noticed in Bridgewater at the community college last year, they put up a program that was free actually for people because they were so short on caregivers. That they offered a free program to try to get people to come be part of this because they're so short. Is there a way that we can be able to, I guess, get it out there more, especially now that we got this the transit and such as that maybe there were some people who didn't take it last year who could have taken it if they would have had a way down there. Maybe they don't have the money to travel, and now that may be an opportunity that we could look back at that again and say, how can we use this now to get more caregivers? It seems we're getting older, is that something that we could look at again, work with community college to try to see what we could do? Because again, I'm not blaming them, I'm saying that everybody is just strapped to the limit.
They are. With the transit, that has been I have people who are now, you know, really looking forward to being able to get to doctor's appointments and stuff with the transit, which has been a great addition. But that also is the aspect of the community college van that is going up. That's been a real positive experience, and I know that there are discussions going on with MSCC, so that we could maybe add that as one of the topics would be, you know, to improve the number of home care people by offering, and then, as you said, people from Liverpool would be able to go to attend the community college to get to that. That's a very good idea. I'll carry it forward to our associations. Thank you.
Councillor Kelly?
Hi, Carol.
Hi.
A couple of things then, because your relationship with the VON, so now I just wanted to clarify, the VON always had a program, they were always looking for volunteer drivers to drive people around.
Yes.
So is they are leaving that completely to Queen's Transit now?
No, they're still doing...
They're still having so isn't that why, do you know?
Well, we're in conversation with them to figure out how to make it work best.
Right.
The status of the VON is a little bit challenging. There's some changes that are going on that
I
am not really a part of.
Right.
So we're encouraging, we have as a transit group been encouraging them to have some discussions to see if we could take over kind of the dispatch of it and that sort of thing to coordinate the services. So that's still under
okay.
sort of negotiation at the moment.
They also had a safety check, call-in safety check program.
They don't do that anymore.
Right, okay.
So I know that the Red Cross used to also do one, but I'm not sure if they do. I just came across it yesterday and I was going to call Tracy. So we need, that's the resources that we really need to get out of our area constituents.
Sorry, do you promote 211 to your clients?
Absolutely.
Okay, that's
absolutely.
Good.
And
sometimes they'll talk.
Yeah.
they'll see on the line and talk to them, because they're not under any obligation to get off the phone really quick for call times or anything like that. So if they call in for something or other, then they would have a chat with them, because they do understand the needs of seniors.
Yes, they're amazing. I talk to the girls
yeah.
on 211 frequently, and I know that
yes.
I have people who phone them, and then, you know, they'll phone me. They phone me once for a gentleman that was a real worry for them, and they were just glad that they were able to kind of make sure somebody close by was able to touch base.
Right.
So
okay. And your information's on 211 if somebody calls.
Yes,
up,
it
they
is.
Know who you are.
Yeah.
Okay. So going back to the seniors living independently. Now,
mm-hmm.
I like when you said that, because I prefer to hear people talk about it in terms of seniors living independently and not in their own homes. Every time I hear someone say live in their own homes, because now that's why we have this issue of snow removal and grass cutting, because if the government continues to offer programs to allow people to live in their own homes longer rather than on emphasis of living independently, then those programs would go towards seniors who live in a situation that they can manage. So the programs that allow people to live in their own homes longer, now we are having seniors on their own, lonely, isolated, not able to take care of their own home, maintain it, and get the snow removal and the maintenance of their lawns and whatnot taken care of in the summertime. So one of the things that Simone Dumontron talked about at the Queen's Care Society AGM last year, I think it was, or earlier this year, was there is a program now. They're creating some sort of program, so maybe contact the Department of Seniors and creating a program for snow removal to try to get people organized and get a network of being able to get them snow removal. Because, I mean, that's not just for seniors. I have a problem getting my snow, my driveway plowed. It's ridiculous.
Absolutely.
So, you know, it's a one-off thing, especially in, you know, one big snowstorm and you're left at the bottom of the totem pole sort of thing. So.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah,
yeah.
For me, it's living independently, and
yes.
that would be independently with support. And often they say keep them in their homes, but we can't.
No.
That's not feasible.
Not efficient.
That's not efficient, because they're so far out and there's all the travel time and the money that it takes to do that. So building towards some transitional housing for seniors, where they have their own apartment or whatever, and
that's
a place
right.
that they can eat and a local store that they might be able to go to, that kind of stuff. Location is really important. But those are the things that have always I've been passionate about.
Right.
So that's what I hope that we can build towards. So
that's great.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Maybe you come back and get, oh, I could ask all day here with this thing, but I'll keep it simple. The one thing, and when I was up to North Queens Nursing Home once, we do services up there with our church and things too. They said that at one time they used to have a program out there for the continuing care. That they used to have, they used to do it right there.
Okay.
There was a lady sent out to do it right there, but
okay.
That program is gone. Is that something that could be revisited or something like that? Because there's one thing about driving into
Bridgewater,
but
yeah.
There's another thing about having it right at the nursing home itself.
Yeah.
That they could do the course right there.
That's something that would be worth investigating. So
and I don't know if it's time to bring it up here now, but I'm just saying
yep.
it's a shortage, so how do we get by the shortage? Right.
Right. Right. And if you're out there, ask them as well. Like, I'll call in with them, but if those are kinds of things are out there, then ask the organizations if they've...
Oh, I've asked. I've
oh, good, okay.
And they said it was they used to have that there, and but the program was gone.
Yeah.
And they say, pardon me?
Yes.
CCA.
Yeah.
Maybe throw a bunch of marks or something.
Yeah. But it is definitely a challenge right across the province.
Because if somebody may not be able to go to, even go down there, or maybe they even have a hard job getting to where they're going to go, but
right.
if they could offer it right there, you could up the count.
Right.
If we have a shortage, if we got to find a way of getting it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay.
Any other questions? Thank you, Carol. I do have a question.
Okay.
And you have all of your concerns with your seniors and the programs and that sort of thing. But is there anything there with food security? Because I know a lot of seniors preparing their own meals, just not doing and you know, leaving food out and that sort of contamination, that type of thing. Is there any concern for that in your
Yes. I would definitely say yes, because yes, they cannot necessarily prepare their own food. I know in some places it depends on the care that's requested by the person and their income level, but sometimes the home care person will make them a sandwich and leave it for them for later on. But as you said, to know whether or not they're going to eat it or leave it out on the sink or taking medications is a huge issue. And I don't know how many of you have worked with blister packs, but they're not made for seniors. They're way too confusing. So they don't know that this is breakfast and this is supper and that day because it's light blue. The things that I have discovered are just amazing. But yeah, and the food security, you know, I was out to see somebody the other day and they had, you know, they had bread and that kind of stuff, but they didn't have any meat. And so when you're on a fixed income, meat and fresh vegetables are one of the first things to go. And that concerns me a lot. We do have in North Queens, the 2 days a week they can get a meal, and sometimes they're able to split it into two meals. But again, it's that monitoring, and if they don't have a family friend or somebody who comes in regularly to check, it's very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I try to encourage them, you know, to move from a big home necessarily into a more supported living. But we're very limited on what we have and where we can move them to. So. You know.
Thank you very much. Good presentation.
Thanks.
Lots of information, and we really appreciate you coming.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure, and thank you for all your support.
Now you have to shift gears and do something else today.
Yeah. Actually, I'm going up to. Yes, I'll be back later in the North Queens.
Now, open public question and comment session. Please state your name and your address, please.
Petitions.
This one.
You did petitions.
Oh, sorry, petitions. I'm tailoring the petitions.
Nursing home.
working diligently to try to get that type of a living accommodation here, and it's still being worked on. And I think the whole community are behind us in knowing that there is a need for assisted living, and our percentage of seniors in our community certainly should be the reason why that should be on top priority. And it is for council. We just have to get the right people to and the organizations and the support for that. I appreciate your concern over that.
Council sort of has to take the lead here in getting people involved and getting it on the radar and getting it.
Yeah, and we've been trying to do that.
Thank you. And I noticed here you're going to be approved today. You're going to be doing a study with respect to the flooding problem, particularly in the Franklin area. I think it's quite a challenge there. I don't know exactly what can be done, but hopefully the consultants.
Well, it has been an issue for a long, long time, and I think
it was constructed wrong in the first place, and all the junk and everything else got in there.
Yeah.
And it allows the water to come up through and so on.
Yeah. Well, further on the agenda, we have a motion. In the past, we've had the major events held at the waterfront. In the last year or so, there's been a lot more organizations and that are utilizing it for their own purposes. I know that our Baptist Church had a picnic in the park not long ago. And, you know, there's other groups that are using it, so it's being used by organizations. But having a structure there would certainly benefit anyone.
Yes, you have anyone. Because there's not just the area, and so on, so just being kind of added to it. And that would sort of make it a little bit of a challenge. And more events and so on. Anyway, I guess I've taken 5 minutes, so you have the recreation strategy that's coming up later on there. And as mentioned, I read some of the background there, and it mentioned both prior to amalgamation, which is the municipality and the town that it's covered. But I just want to mention there, it didn't indicate it here, but the municipality had a recreation director or coordinator way back in the 80s. Joe Davis was in the name of his first in the argument, and then one after that, and coordinated the events around. So the municipality was involved, and I think the town had a recreation director at some point as well before amalgamation.
So we'll look at the recreation discussion this morning. And look at all those aspects of it. So,
thank you.
You're most welcome. Thank you, Leon. We'd miss you if you weren't here.
Thank you.
Anyone else from the gallery?
Bill Cox, 121 Bond Road, West Point.
Welcome back, Bill. We haven't seen you for a while.
No, my medical appointments and council dates collided, and unfortunately, the doctor's one of us.
I hope everything is well with you in that regard.
Yes, they are. Yes. They cleaned our house, and so I'm very, very happy with that. I have a couple of items. I also would like to speak briefly on 10-1, the flood risk study. This is coming at a rather late time in the year, but I guess they can study water almost any time of the year. It's the remediation that creates the problem. But I'm just wondering if we do have a tentative timetable as to when this study will be completed and when a problem. It's been long-standing for a long time and something that we sort of said, oh, well, that wasn't as bad this year as it was last year. Maybe things are getting better, but it's been demonstrated for the last couple of years. It is getting worse, and it's time that we have to look at that. So my question is, do we have a timetable as to when this will be completed and when the remediation and things go forward, depending on the budgetary situation?
Chris, can you answer that?
Sure. I believe the recommended proposal that's before council today, CBCL, they have a completion date of April, but our provincial funding that we've received for 50% cost sharing requires us, I believe, to spend by March. So if CBCL is accepted this morning, then we'll have to work with them to reduce that time schedule back to before the end of the fiscal year. And so that's the timeline. It's a big project. There's a lot of studies and research has to go into that. Otherwise, it's going to take a while. And until we have the study back and we know what remediation is going to be required, then we can't budget for it. And so the hope is that we'll know in February, March, when the study is done, what the options are. And then council at that time will have to decide which option they want to pick, A, B, and C, depending on what the costs are. And then I would expect council to then deliberate during budget deliberations at that period of time to decide to set aside a certain amount of money in future budgets to make the changes that are required.
Thank you. Good question.
And also, in regard to the recreation strategy plan, the author's name is not attached to this handout, so I don't know who prepared it, but this has been a item of, how shall I say, discussion within the community for a long time as to why are we spending all of that money and only a few people are taking advantage of it and so forth. And this has been alluded to in this handout that you know, the numbers are getting lower because the people who need it are not the ones that are taking advantage of it, and they are complaining that the so-called rich are getting all of the favors and we're being left out, and why can't they have something in their own community, etc. And it all comes down to volunteering and who's going to organize and who's going to put it on and who's going to look after the kids while they're there. And the other problem, of course, it becomes a babysitting service, and that is not the that's not the idea behind it. It's I would say that it's probably the most misunderstood service that the region provides in recreation. And I think that, you know, we need to have some sort of communication vehicle that will let people know when something is happening or when it's being organized or whatever. A lot of people said that the advance was just arriving and there was nothing in it, but it did provide some of the programs and so forth that were going on in the community. But here again, the people who needed it weren't subscribers, and unless somebody happened to be talking over the backyard fence, they had no idea of what was going on in the community. But I'm in agreement with the strategy that's outlined in the handout, and I think that if we devote our staff time in trying to speak to various community groups. I know groups are being inundated with various speakers coming to talk to them about a number of things, and people may become confused, but I think that programs that are community-based and community-sought-out are more successful because they know who the people are in the community that can take advantage of it, and maybe they have to apply to the region for a grant or whatever in order to finance it, to have an instructor. budgeting for recreation, there was always a discussion around, do we really have to do this? And, well, yes, we've been doing that for a while, and so we should probably keep it going and this sort of thing. But, you know, it's so easy to travel until you become a senior, and then it becomes a little more difficult to arrange it, and the Queen's Transit is certainly going to fill some of that breach, and some of the questions that were directed to the Senior Safety Coordinator pointed out that there are still some gaps out there, that and the Legion, of course, can't do everything, but it's, I think that it's important that we do have members of council and the staff that are being more orientated to the community and bringing the various community organizations more in focus to direct their own programs. There are calls in just about every community that's being used maybe once or twice a month, or sometimes once or twice a year, and this may put these facilities more in focus and allow the people to come to the community, as opposed to trying to get people from the outpost to come to Queen's Place or the Legion or wherever you're having the event in the central part of the community. But I support the strategy that is outlined, and I think it's moving in the right direction. Thank you. Yeah.
The strategy that was written in the concept paper, I think, was designed by Megan Dawkins and her staff. Megan Dawkins is at Queen's Place and at the recreation, and you were discussing or talking about the events and the fact that there were all these recreation notes and what's happening in the community. The municipality of the Region of Queens send out periodically, maybe two or three or four times a year, of course, our newsletter, but also recreation. They send out what's happening within the recreation programs that are organized by the Region of Queens, and that is sent out to all boxes, post office boxes, so everybody gets that in the mail as well. So, and that's a really, pardon
me? Excuse me, but if you check the waste baskets in the post offices around, this goes directly from the boxes into the garbage.
So we can't control that, but it's out there for everybody to read, so.
But as I say, the people who need the information are not getting it, because it's going into the garbage can and somebody spent hours preparing it. But, you know, unless somebody happens to take it home and say, did you see that in the What's the Buzz or whatever, and people haven't got a clue because they didn't look at it. It was just a flyer or whatever that came out from the municipality, and I'm not interested.
Thank you very much, Bill. Let me see. Approval of the minutes of the regular council meeting on September the 11th, 2018. Can I ask for approval? Approved by Councillor Fisk. Seconded. Councillor Kelly. Any questions? All those in favor? Contrary? Jack, you're chucking. Is there something I missed?
No.
Okay.
Right. I will say okay. Something. Going along with what Bill Cox said, North Queens has something special out there. They have that little paper they put out with it every quarter, and everybody reads it because it's got all about the local activities, right?
It's called Good News for North Queens.
Good News for North Queens, and that's, you know, it's something that's, you know, back when I know we were kids, you always said, well, somebody went over to somebody's place and visited somebody. But people read that, right? It may sound kind of silly, but you would read those things because it was specific to your area. So when you put something out from the region, it's like, okay. You know, unless you're interested in the region, it goes into the trash. But when you can put something out specific from your area, people will read that.
So what you're saying is put a catchy headline on it, and then they probably would read it if it's something.
No, but if we could get back to more community-based little papers
yes.
and things like that.
Yes.
Those would not go in the garbage can.
Yes. There's nothing under dangerous and unsightly premises. 8.0, economic development. 8.1, waterfront events. And Steve Burns is with us this morning. Morning, Steve.
Good morning. Morning.
Good morning.
So in your package was a brief recap a number of major events that took place in the Waterfront Park and in Centennial Park approximately 1 month ago, actually. And what we'll do is I'll just briefly, you know, go through the report and then add a few other facts to the presentation, and then look for some feedback. So on August the 25th and 26th, the downtown was and waterfront was buzzing with the activity of a number of events that were going on. First of all, we had the Privateer Farm Market was going on, and that was taking place in the morning from about 9 to 1 o'clock. Some of the comments that came back from the folks that run the farm market were that their attendance, they felt that their attendance count that they did that day was 2.5 times what their normal attendance would be at the farm market. So they felt there was great value in having the Memorial Car Show and the National Axe Throwing Competition down in the park on certainly the same days that that they were there. The National Axe Throwing Championships, of which Region of Queens was a partial sponsor, were held 10 to 4 on Saturday and 11 to 4 on Sunday. And so that event was organized by the North Nova Lumberjack Society, and the event attracted 55 participants. And these participants came from around the world, essentially, and across Canada. There were participants on the Canadian side from Nova Scotia, British Columbia, and New Brunswick, and from around the world, Ireland, Sweden, and Germany. We had folks come over and participate in this National Axe Throwing Competition. Some of those folks actually were world champions, so Daniel and Anna Christina Hedberg of Sweden were the male and female national world champions. And if anyone remembers, at one point, Daniel had 21 bullseyes in a row. So, you know, some pretty incredible axe throwing. The participants who came were from away, were toured around numbers of areas in Nova Scotia, particularly from the Truro area down through the Barrington area, by the North Nova Lumberjack Society. So they got a good flavor of what was, you know, what this end of the province and stuff was all about. And a number of them actually stayed on vacation, spent some extra time here. Mm-hmm. Some of our European, the competitors that came from Europe actually participate in the TV series Vikings, which is airing on History Channel and comes up in November. And Heath Dawson, one of the folks from Ireland, I guess the set of the TV show is just about a mile away from his home. And we actually got to see some of the photos for the upcoming season, so that should be pretty cool. Promotion for this event took place. The North Nova Lumberjack Society was responsible for the promotion, and that took place through interviews on Global that were put on Facebook with Paul Brothers. We had an ad in the South Shore Breaker that we participated in to help out both the car show and the National Axe Throwing event. The North Nova Lumberjack Society had radio ads on QCCR. We also participated in putting ads on CKBW for the Lumberjack competition and the car show. And there was a lot of social media sharing and resharing of posts, etc., to help build excitement around the event. There were also posters that were distributed and put up in the key areas. The layout of the parks was just, you know, sort of perfect for the full day and all the events that were taking place down there. Be important to note that just some results that came in from the North Nova Lumberjack Society on the event is they were in a near break-even financial position. Local sponsorship and fundraising was light. They did have a bit of a late start in getting into the local area to get some sponsorship. And the board will determine whether the event will go forward for themselves for next year, in next August. And we have the first right of refusal, being a major sponsor of the event. We brought in, as part of our sponsorship, two sets of portable bleachers, which proved beneficial in the viewing plane, of course, to watch the axe throwing competition. A number of folks brought lawn chairs and sat around the edge that was cordoned off. And it was an event that really, I think, once you got there and became engaged, it was hard to leave. It really took you over and you were taken up in the competition. And it was great to see that they incorporated juniors. So, and some of the juniors were also European juniors, which was pretty neat. And overall, the event, in an estimate of attendance, would have been in the 350 to 400 range on Saturday, and likely in near the 300 range on Sunday. So of course, the Saturday ongoing attendance would have been assisted and fueled by things such as the market and the car show. And Sunday, the event was standalone. So, perhaps an additional event in another area of the park or in the downtown or another activity on the second day, if this goes forward for next year, would be helpful to help draw some more attendance for that. The Memorial Car Show, organized by Terry Conley of Brooklyn, and most of us know Terry, and so his local group of about 12 get together about 24 volunteers, and this year was their third annual car show that they held in Privateer Park. The unofficial count, as Terry liked to call it, was 361, as reported by someone who did a car count. That was a record number of vehicles overall for the car show. And people came from all over Nova Scotia to bring their vehicles in. And that event, between the participants that came in with their vehicles and the folks that came with them, plus the flow per hour of people through that event, likely the attendance was around 2,000. So when you look at overall impact down in the waterfront park on the weekend, it would be in excess of 3,000 in attendance through the market, the car show, and the axe throwing competition. The Memorial Car Show, we had a minor involvement with that. It was as I assisted them putting it on NovaScotia.com. We did include them in the axe throwing radio ads and the Social Breaker newspaper ad. Plus, we were active on the Facebook site, helping push their group through a little bit and give them some extra promotion. The VIC was very busy. The reports came back that the VIC was very busy, and the comment came that folks that came to the VIC were very, very appreciative. There was, and excited that there was so much going on the waterfront as they came into Liverpool downtown and in the waterfront area to see, what was going on and things. So their stay was sort of extended because to some it was a surprise when they came to town how much was going on. So that was positive. At the end of the event, I polled approximately 24 organizations and businesses on impacts that they felt that the event would have. And I know this is always a topic, and we want an impact study tool and those types of things. And these are they're going to be difficult to create. Probably received 4 to 5 responses, and they're very general responses. These folks, they're not going to give you up their actual factual monetary dollar increases and those types of things. So some of the comments that came back, it was felt that on Main Street that there was definitely an uptick in activity in the retail outlets of people looking, buying, and on the street. And the eateries, some of the eateries that did respond, of the few that responded, were very pleased with the weekend that went on and felt that it was their busiest weekend of the entire summer season. So from June right through to September, to August 26 here. So so that was interesting. So, a couple commented that their business, in particular on Saturday, was 2 times what it would have been on any other particular weekend and during that time frame. So it is difficult to get a lot of feedback back. So those are pretty arbitrary in general. As far as overnight stays, that type of thing, these events were basically one-day events. Travelers, coming from basically the outskirts of the city to Tantallon, to Barrington areas. And some of the fans and folks that came in particular on Sunday for axe throwing were European folks that knew Europeans were participating. And certainly, there were folks coming in from other areas, as there was a contingent of axe throwers from the Barrington area, and we had our own, the young Stevens girl was also participating. So you had those folks coming in. So overall, just to put a hardcore number on the impact, I can't give you that number today, but the overall feeling of those polled was that it was great to see, and the folks that visited were really impressed to see what was going on the waterfront.
Any questions?
Okay. Steve, one question I have to ask is, I always look at just numbers and things, and the one thing you talked about with the axe throwing, that they didn't quite break even with what had taken place. So they're going to have to reevaluate if they're going to come back. And of course, more than likely, got the car show. And that work seemed to work just like it was a busy, busy time through there. And all the numbers that came through and the busiest weekend of the summer. It's something you don't want to lose. Mm-hmm. And what can we do? I mean, they can't lose and not come back. They're not going to come back if they're going to lose. Mm-hmm. What can we do in conjunction with to make that profitable for them, I guess?
Well, the reports just came in just before I went on vacation. Sure. And so what'll happen is, Ryan McIntyre, who's the head of the group, we'll do a one-on-one debrief with Ryan. I mean, I have notes on feedback, that I would like them to hear, and I'm sure they have some additional notes that we would, like to assimilate, that they would maybe have some additional requests, etc. I think year one is certainly a learning curve piece, and if they choose to continue the event, I think certainly on a promotional level, in particular is getting together with them on how to promote the event a little better would be probably the number one priority. The number one priority is promotion, of course.
But
assisting them with some additional volunteers, right, to help them run the event.
Right.
Like I said to them, I don't want to get in too deep of the back and forth, but you need to put your hand up and say, I need some volunteers to help. So I'm sure we could have provided additional volunteers to help them run the event, and we can give them some ideas and places to hunt for sponsorship.
Yeah, that was the big thing for me, because all the volunteers and everything else there's no cost to the thing, so there's no way of them getting monies back except for more sponsorship and...
They had a fair amount of in-kind, of course. Geez, all of us who are involved in events are in-kind is very important to running the events, so...
I thought it was great to have such a huge event. I mean, in the middle of August, it was amazing. I mean, it was really buzzing in town that weekend, and that was a really good thing for Liverpool. Councillor Frolic and myself also did a welcome on behalf of the Region of Queens for the international axe throwers, and we hosted them at the Town Hall Arts and Culture Center for a meet and greet with local businesses as well. And we also took them on a tour of a few places in Queens County while they were here to the concrete, Ivan Higgins Concrete Creations, which they were absolutely amazed at. And then we took them down to Port Grocer, and we did the tour around Port Grocer, Sealy Hall, and the museums down there, and the White House and whatnot. So they had a fantastic time. I think it was important that we showed that welcome to them to come to the community, and, you know, again, sealing the fact that, you know, they love it here, and they had that welcome mat thrown out for them that, you know, they're more likely to come back if they're feeling the love there. Which, and again, like I say, it was the first event, so, you know, I don't know what the expectations were for a first event, but from their point of view, but, you know, I hope that they do come back again next year, knowing that they can build on what they learned this year and do it again. I thought the promotion was great. I mean, they were on TV. I mean, Darren Hudson, you can't get any better than that when it comes to promoting through, you know, the his axe throwing bar in Halifax, and to his relationship with the, is it Global TV and Brothers.
Paul Brothers.
Paul Brothers, yeah. My gosh, is amazing. And Susie Atwood definitely knows her stuff in promotion for Barrington. And that's the one thing that I did notice, is that they were running around like crazy that weekend. And I talked to them before they left, and I said, you know, next year, reach out, and we'll put together a group of volunteers to do whatever, to be at their disposal, to do whatever they want to do, what they need, because they really did need some. I think it would have been nicer for them to be able to relax a little bit more and spend more time doing other things rather than running around doing the bitty things that other people have done for them. So, but all in all, yeah, there was an awesome weekend. One other question, though, I would like to know, how did you reach out to the businesses, and what capacity did you reach out to the businesses for their information or feedback?
Through email,
okay.
In general.
Right.
Yeah. It wasn't face to face business. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Any other questions? Steve, I feel it was an, as we all know, it was an excellent weekend. And sitting in the bleachers and watching the axe throwing on Sunday afternoon, the pride of our waterfront area. I mean, that
great
was the backdrop of that was amazing.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, were there any videos taken of that event that can be incorporated into some kind of promotion event for next year? Was that considered?
Picnic Studios, I believe, has taken a video, did a video, and it may be up on their site, and we'll get it and grab it.
What is that again?
Picnic Studios. So it should be on, I'll check their North Nova site this morning.
Okay.
I'll give it a check. It should be on there.
So they're affiliated with North Nova,
are they? No, I believe.
But they just put it on their site.
Yeah, yeah. They came and did the filming, and they were all over.
Great.
You may have noticed someone going with the camera and doing the...
But any events like that, even the car show or any events outside, if we could possibly consider having a video done and then put vignettes together for promotional purposes rather than just still shots, is very, very much more appealing to people.
And the car show folks, you know, they have some wonderful aerial video of a number of individuals.
The drone video.
They have two individuals that were doing drone. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Great event.
Awesome.
And, hopefully we're successful next year in having it. So
awesome.
We do everything in our capacity. Okay, thank you very
much. Thanks.